God is good. And all the time, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Most High and our Savior. Through you, all things were made, and all creation sprouted from your command. You are the Word, and nothing made did not come from you. You are holy, you are powerful, you are all-knowing. We bow to you, our Lord and Creator, and we worship you above all else. Would you please stand? Sing and be happy, for the Lord. Lord loves you. Sing!
Songs.
Won't you please be seated? And read with me, brothers and sisters, the responsive reading. This is Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." So Jesus tested the disciples at the end of his Galilean mission and asked them who they thought he was. He asked first who they thought the Son of Man was, and they told him what Scripture suggested, Deuteronomy and Malachi. Then he asked who they thought he was, and Simon Peter stepped up, being the leader, to tell them that they believed that he was the Son of the Living God. And special significance is given to the title Living God because Caesarea Philippi was an area replete with worship of Baal, Pan, and Caesar, all dead gods. Caesar Augustus, who the town was named after. But all dead gods. "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the conqueror who would triumph over all of Israel's enemies. Blessed are you, O Lord God of our ancestors, and to be praised and highly exalted forever. And blessed is your glorious holy name, and to be highly praised and highly exalted forever."
Thank you, Jim. I'm going to ask those who are going to wait upon us for the offering, if you would come up. For our prayer time today, I really feel that we need to pray for our country. Pray that cooler heads prevail. Pray that in everything we do over these next couple of weeks, that we show the love of Christ to others, and to understand that no matter what happens in this election, God is still in control. So that's really the prayer of my heart today, because things are getting, they've been heated up, but they're getting animated again, and all of this is the last push, before the election. And listen, my prayer for all the candidates is that they come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. That would be the ideal, right? But we need to pray to that end. My other prayer, too, is that in spite of political differences, and there are, that we would love one another. Long after Washington disappears, God is here. Jesus will reign. And my heart is to see people come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior by faith, so that we can all reign together when he comes back. Imagine, I just get a little glimpse from Revelation 7. Revelation 7 is kind of one of the pauses in the tribulation. Now, the tribulation is going to be a horrible time. And we talked last week about the attitudes with which we can come to the tribulation. And I believe the overall attitude ought to be, we don't want to see anybody go through this. That just as our Jesus desires, we'd rather see people come to know Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And that ought to kind of paint the way for us to love people and treat them as people for whom Christ died. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father, as we come into a critical time for our country, we are so grateful that we are still free. We are grateful that not only are we still free, that you have ordained that we still have the right and the privilege to vote. Father, help us to vote our conscience. Help us to bring everything before you in prayer before we make our decisions. And Father, we pray that we remember to treat each other civilly and love each other. And most of all, Father, that we would continue without interruption, without any impediment, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through this all. And so, Father, we pray for the unsaved. That passage in Matthew where Peter's asked, "Who am I?" And he responds with the responses of different people. And then Jesus says, "Who do you say I am, Peter?" I suggest that is the most critical question anyone can answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, bless those who are hurting today. Encourage those who are hurting. And Father, thank you for bringing your servant angel here today. He will bless us with a message that will encourage us all because he loves you. And so, Father, we give to the work of the church. Help us to give voluntarily. Help us to give in an attitude of worship. And, Father, may what we give and how we give it bring glory and honor to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For me, it's a sincere pleasure, and I mean that in the best sense of the word, to be ministered to by a brother in Christ. He's been a faithful brother, but more than that, he's deeply and passionately in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives him the words from the scriptures, and which deeply impacts each and every one here. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Angel Madeira, who wants to bless you, and he is preaching for me today, which is a blessing for me. Angel, would you come forward? Would you welcome him, please?
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, thank you so much. Okay. I have someone's Bible here. I don't. That's you, Pastor? Okay. Okay. So, good morning. It's so good to be back, and especially on a day like today where, you know, when we honor the servants that God has placed in our path, you know, there's a word that Jesus uses in the book of Revelation to describe the pastors, and I love that word because I'm like, okay, I'm in the club, and it's the word angel when he says right to the angel of the church, and he's talking about the pastor, and so I got one foot in so far. So I think I'm doing okay. But like I said, it's such a blessing to be here today to honor the man and woman of God of this house, because there was something I just said recently at a pastor's appreciation day a few weeks ago, in which I told the church, I says, you know, the scripture says, you know, that God said to the people of Israel, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, right? And so when God has placed a pastor in your life, God was thinking about you, and he knew exactly what pastor to put into your life. And those pastors and the work of the Lord that they do. And so pastors are a gift of God. They really are. It's not by happenstance. It's not random, because our God is not a God of randomness. He doesn't say, you know, that didn't cross my mind. That's not God, okay? And God never says, you know, this person didn't show up today. I'm just going to have to choose somebody. No, God doesn't operate like that. Our God knows everything from the beginning to the end, even before the beginning begun. I find that incredible about this transcendent being who we call God and who has revealed himself to us as God. So without further ado, I want to get into the Word of God. So if you would just join me to the book of Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. Amen. And if you could just let me know when you're ready, so this way I don't get ahead of you. And I believe that this word that I'll be speaking on today is going to not just bless you, but it's going to remind us on how we have a ministry with us, that we have to remember that this ministry is always with us, which is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it says, let me just click this, right? Did I do it right? Okay. And it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I just want you guys to focus on that text, because that's going to be the thrust of this message. And so it says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more, more in knowledge and depth of insight. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. And I thank you, Father, for bringing me here to bless my brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters. Father, I ask in Jesus' name for the grace, O Lord God, that is needed to expound on your word and to release the word for this time, for this church. Bless, O Lord, he who you have blessed, O Lord God, along with his wife, to bless and lift up this congregation. I ask in Jesus' name for the blessing that makes the difference, which is the blessing of your spirit, of your son, and of yourself. This I ask and this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So today, I want to talk to you about the unfailing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We understand that Paul, prior to being Paul, His name was Saul of Tarsus, and he was in a ministry of which he did everything that he was told, and how he was raised in the law of Moses, as they say in the Jewish community, a good Jew, practicing in everything in all the high holy days, observant of the law of Moses, doing everything as what Paul said on one occasion, keeping the law to its fullest and doing everything. It's interesting because with Paul operating in this one particular ministry, there was another ministry that was operating around Paul, of which Paul did not know that he was called to. A ministry that once it came into the scene in Paul's life, being in the person of Christ, can you imagine that Paul is on the road to Damascus, thinking that he is actually doing God's work, until the one who calls us to the true field of God's work appears to him in the road and tells him, what are you doing? Don't you know that to come against me is futile? Don't you know that to come against me is to come to certain failure? And Paul says something that is so heartbreaking, but at the same time is so challenging to the New Testament believer. Paul says, Lord, who are you? Imagine thinking that you're serving God in one particular form of ministry and thinking that you're doing these good works and God is just tallying up all these good things that you're doing so that at the end when you stand before that throne, you will speak for yourself. I'm here to tell you, New Testament truth teaches us that you will not speak for yourself, that it is the Lamb of God who will speak for you. It is the Lamb of God who is the perfect advocate for all those that believe in him. He is the perfect lawyer in the tribunal of the highest court of heaven. He is the one that will stand in your defense and say, Father, he is mine. That is why when we see Paul that he is basically, as some scholars say, he is arrested by the Christ. If you're going to be arrested by somebody and become their prisoner, please let it be Jesus. Amen. Amen. The scripture says this, that those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The word led there in the Greek comes from the word that means ago. It means to be taken captive, like when an invading army comes into a country and takes all those that are defenseless and makes them into slaves. And it says in scripture that all these that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're going to be held captive, it is a great thing to be held captive by the Spirit of God. We see Jesus demonstrate this throughout his whole life. One of the most beautiful displays of this is at the baptism of Jesus when he goes into the water. John tries to stop him and he says, you know, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, allow all righteousness to be fulfilled here. This has to happen. What John was actually getting a glimpse into, that those that would then come after Christ would become the captives of the Holy Spirit. Because after Jesus comes out of the water, the scripture says, and the Spirit of God took him. One translation says he took him captive so as to be tempted in the wilderness. It is a beautiful thing to be held captive by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when we are his captives, we see the power of God demonstrated in our lives. When we are captives of the Holy Spirit, we begin to speak the truth that the world needs to hear. When we are held captive by the Holy Spirit, we are actually prisoners of truth that we cannot escape from. Why? Because the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is to give unto us the actual gift of Christ. Explain unto us how much our Father loves us so that he puts us into the service of spreading this good news we call the gospel. The unfailing ministry of the Holy Spirit, like I said in the verse, that he who has begun, I'll go back to it. It says here, Here we go. Being confident of this. Interesting. Being confident. Nowadays, people are not very confident of anything. That is why you see them grabbing onto so many outlets. Some have grabbed onto science, and they're trying to basically explain away what is going on in the behavioral mentality of society. But I can tell you this, according to Scripture, that Jesus had prophesied that these things were going to happen before his coming. While everybody is trying to grab at something in a form of a Messiah, I can tell you, your Messiah has a hold on you better than you have a hold on him. Paul says that being confident of this, he is speaking from a place of conviction, a conviction of which the Holy Spirit is the only one that can produce that conviction. I was just watching a video just recently on which a psychologist was actually trying to help somebody to be free from their grieving because they had lost a loved one and years had passed and the person was still in a grieving state. And they asked the psychologist, how is it that I am still in this state? How is it that I'm not free of this? If we think about freedom, Paul wrote this letter from prison, but yet he is speaking words as a man who is so free in his spirit that he is not allowing the actual system of that time that was imprisoning these Christians to actually hold back the actual message of God that was living inside of him. This gentleman then says, why am I still grieving? And the psychologist said to him, it's because you have come to the end of all your strategies. Now you have come to a place that you are realizing that your strategies to try to alleviate yourself of this grief is no longer working. Your strategies have come to an end. I'm here to tell you today that even if we come to the end of our strategies, it is okay. We can celebrate because we are confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The Bible speaks about this God who in his manifold wisdom, multi-wisdom, therefore I have to then say, Father, thank you for sending and giving us such a treasured gift as the Apostle Paul. I just recently watched a movie that Jim Caviezel was in, the gentleman who played Jesus in The Passion. He was in the story of Paul, and he played the role of Luke. And I was watching it, and you're trying to basically imagine as hard as you can the conditions in the prison, and it shows the actor who portrays Paul. He's in the prison, and you know, there was a time that someone tried to break him out and he stayed, and you know, he was trying to demonstrate to the Roman Empire that's not how we operate. And so getting back to tying this together with the unfailing ministry of the Holy Spirit, who does something like that within the heart of men? Knowing that God has made very clear that the heart of men, the heart of humans is corrupt, even from their youth. Knowing that there is nothing that we can use or say for ourselves or do to ourselves to try to uncorrupt the human heart. It requires that God himself come and dwell inside of us and then perform his ministry on the inside. The unfailing work and the unfailing ministry of the Holy Spirit is so powerful. If we all just right for right now, just take 2 seconds and think about how we were last year and compare it to the present. If we think about going back 5 years and compare it to the present, if we go back 20, 30, 40 years and we go back prior to Christ and we go back to our dark lives and then we come back to this present and we say, how did I get here? I can tell you how you got here, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. His work is sure. I love when Jesus said, I have come to do the work of him who sent me. I have come to do the will. As my Father worked, I work also. And here we see that the Holy Spirit is working. And we know that God's success rate is 100%. His success rate is a success rate of zero failures. when God purposed it within himself to take a human being, as he did in Genesis, and he gave them hope after the fall. Of course, people say, well, you know, why would God create them, if he knew they were going to fail? People even go further and say, why would he create Satan if he knew that Satan was going to rebel? I'm here to tell you, because your God is never intimidated. He is the only transcendent being that knows all things prior to all things being made known. He is the Lord, our God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lord of peace. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the Lord, our God, who defeated death, defeated sin in one afternoon. He is the Lamb that suffered all the blemishes, all the bruisings, all the beatings. He suffered it all so that he could relate to us in the perfection of our suffering. What is so perfect about suffering? I will tell you this. What is so perfect about our suffering is that we have a Savior who we can connect to, and he can relate to our sufferings. He knows what it is to take upon himself the infirmities when he did it on the cross. He knows what it is to feel the abuse of other humans. He knows what it is to have his reputation just thrown in the gutter in public. He knows all these things so that he could relate to us. And here we have a servant of God. And I love this, because we're here in Pastor Appreciation Day. And we have this servant of God named Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Isn't that interesting? That must have really blew his mind when all of a sudden he hated Gentiles and then knew in his duty as Saul of Tarsus was to basically keep Gentiles out. And these so-called Christians have to be wiped off the face of the earth. And now he is awakened to his calling. And all of a sudden, we see a man who was known as the one who breathed death. And now he is speaking life and life everlasting to all of us who would receive the Christ. He is a voice of the Holy Spirit unto us. He is a voice that speaks to us. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through trials, I know that scripture in Philippians 4:13 actually sounds louder than any bell or horn when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank the Lord that he gave us a man as Paul. Because why? Because Paul then, in following Christ, he took his suffering so that he could honor his Lord and Savior and at the same time bless the church. That's why when we think about ministers, real ministers, not the stuff you see in YouTube today. Someone tried to ask me a question on political science, and I said, well, I have to apologize because YouTube has not sent me my doctorate yet. Okay. So, you know, as far as political science and political things, I just can't answer that, and I just won't tread in that territory. But I can say this, that we do have these letters that not only encourage us, but they are the words of the Holy Spirit as inspired to a man who was in prison and was so full of the love of God that he demonstrates the character and nature of Christ to not think about his chains, but look at his chains and say, hey, I'm in chains, but it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Who can do such a thing, Pastor Lou? How can you do that, right? If anything, our human nature says, look what this stuff called Christianity got you into now, right? You're in prison. Where's your Jesus now? Right? I bet you won't go preaching after they let you go. If they let you go, if the Roman government decides not to decapitate you, I bet you won't go standing on a street corner talking about how good the Lord is, right? And that God is good, right? All the time, and all the time God is good. I bet you won't go doing that anymore, Paul. But Paul then turns around and he takes the power of that suffering event, and he turns it around for the glory and the furtherance of the gospel, and to point all of us in the future that would listen to Paul, and those of us that would minister through the letters of Paul, to tell us all what he says in the second verse. Look what he says. I love this. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going through a transition myself right now. And we're all in transition. Everybody here is in a transition. And I'm studying about grace. And one of the things that really overwhelmed me about the subject of what's called common grace is that seeing the actual nature of God upon every human life, both saved and unsaved. The scripture says what? That he causes the sun to rise upon the unjust and the just. He makes the rains to fall upon the righteous and the unrighteous. And in understanding this grace, it just caused a mental explosion to take place in me and just being overwhelmed by this grace and saying, my goodness, I had to stop my studies and break into tears. I said, my goodness, the grace of which we are covered under every day of our lives. The nature of God is seen even to the unrighteous and the unsaved, that he actually causes that grace to affect them as well. And Paul says here, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, yes, it is grace that we need. It is grace that has given us ministers. It is grace that has given us leaders in the church filled with the Spirit of God. It is grace that has brought all of us as the body of Christ here today. We are all here by God's grace. We woke up today by God's grace. Our focus and our attention to come here to worship God was by God's grace. We are so wealthy that we think that we're poor. I heard a quote, and the quote was this: there are some people who are so poor that the only thing that they have is money. That hit me so hard one day when I heard that. And I said, okay, it's time to start observing and looking at these blessings that I have been given. Because true stewardship actually begins with thinking about what God our Father has given to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And then seeing everything, seeing Christ as that tree of life, and seeing all the fruits that have come from him that we are able to partake in. We have received salvation. We have received life. We have received grace beyond measure, to the point where I can't imagine in Paul's mind what he must have saw in reference to grace. And it hit him so hard that it did the work that the Holy Spirit wanted to do, which was to change a heart. The unfailing ministry of the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you, if you are struggling with anything within your heart, if you are struggling with anything in your mind, I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit has already got that on his agenda to bring you to the success, to conform you to the image and to the likeness of his son, Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not fail. We have been given this faith. We have been given this ministry. This person is with us. You know, I listen to some Christians and how they lean so much to a man that then I say to them, well, then who is it that heals the sick if not Christ? Who is it that transforms the mind if not the Spirit of God? Who is it that demonstrates his love to the lost if not our Heavenly Father? And Paul says to us, grace and peace to you. You know, they were feeling unsettled thinking about that their brother Paul is in prison. And isn't it interesting that then Paul is settling them down? He says, no, I'm going to settle you down. I'm going to settle you down, and I'm going to start it with this: grace and peace be unto you. I'm in a good place. Now, you're looking at the prison, but you have to understand, what did they really put in prison? They just put a man. They can't put the gospel in prison. And if the gospel does end up in prison, a lot of people are going to be set free. One of the worst things that the devil could do is to try to incarcerate the gospel. He's tried it several times and has failed. There was a pastor in Africa that one time on a missions trip, he was imprisoned, and he asked his jailers, he said, why am I here? I haven't done anything. You have put me in prison, and I'm here. I haven't done anything. All I did was speak from that book. And they said to him, no, the problem is that book gives people wings. That's why you're here, because you're speaking from a book that actually gives people wings. Paul says that he would give thanks, right? Watch this. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Look at the heart of this man. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. This was the same man that would carry letters like a hit list with names of Christians. And he says, yep, we got to go after him, her, this family, these teens, these youth, all of these people. And look what he's saying. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. All of us that are here today are evidences of the partnership of the gospel, partnership with Pastor Lou and Pastor Mary Lou. They are partners. All of you are partners. All of you have persevered. You have come to this day. You have made it this far because the partnership is one of the Holy Spirit who has bonded all of you together. Do you see the effectual working power of the Holy Spirit in its ministry? See, we think grand, right? We've been taught to think grand in the form of events. Size, that's when it's big, right? That's when everybody says, no, it's got to be bigger, you know? It's like the Tim Allen show, right? He gets this engine and he says, no, we're going to go from a V4 to a V12, you know, that sort of thing. But yet, it was a young 33-year-old Jewish rabbi who was crucified by himself on a cross in an afternoon. That's not so grand when you think about it. It makes sense that when he says, you know, to the Greeks, you know, it's just foolishness. And to the Jews, it's scandalous. But yet, for us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. When we look at the cross and we think about that minister who was sacrificed on that day for us, we say, my goodness, what a powerful day, to the point where we're still receiving not just the tremors, but the earthquakes of that sacrifice, right? Paul then goes on to say, being confident of this, that he who had begun or he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There was something that the Lord showed me in this text, that in the actual Greek, this terminology, when it says that he who began a good work is an actual term that was used for a contractor back in the ancient times when people would contract tradesmen to come and do work in the house. And so they were known as people, if they were really good contractors, that once they committed themselves, they would stay until the finishing of that work. You know, today we have contractors that take deposits and they disappear, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit, he has been mandated, and it's interesting when you read scripture deeper, he has been mandated and commanded to come to earth and to take all of these who have been chosen, as scripture says, for salvation and who would receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring all of us to that day and to bring all of us to that perfection. And so it says in the actual Greek that this person would come and would look at the house if it was dilapidated and would say, no, I'm here for the long haul. I'm here to do a good work. I'm not just here to slap paint and nails. No, I am here to bring about a transformation. And according to Romans chapter 8, it is to conform us to the image and to the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In closing, I want to say this. Paul says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer. And I think that this should be all of our prayer, that when we pray for each other in the body of Christ, that we pray, Father, may their love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Help us, O Lord, in these times to see more and more of Christ while the world continues to bombard us with so many different images and so many different concepts. There is only one image that you want us to focus on, and it is the image of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this I finish. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is unfailing. It doesn't matter how we wake up in the morning and what emotion we choose, because we do choose. And sometimes those emotions even seem to choose for us how our day is going to go. We can actually sit on the edge of our beds and we can say, you know, I may be feeling this way this morning, but that is not going to stop the ministry of the Holy Spirit from bringing me a day closer in which I will see Jesus Christ face to face. God bless you.
Angel, thank you. Thank you. From time to time, I think we all need to know that the ministry doesn't depend on me, that it is fueled by the Spirit of God. And I know I need to be reminded of that, so thank you. Did you appreciate Angel being here today? I try to get him to come every week, but it'll cost us too much money. he won't do it. He's welcome here anytime. He knows that. And thanks for being a dear brother. I mean that in all sincerity. You know, some people have no taste when he says, I love you. I don't know. I'm only kidding. Listen, as we close the service, I'm going to have to run off, I guess, right after we're done, right? I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart. I believe, I'm going to sound like a politician here, but I think it's true for us as believers. I think the best days are yet to come. And it may not be days that go our way. They may not be days that are without challenge. I think every day is going to bring challenge. But as we follow Christ by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be the best days. And I think we'll see what God has in store for us. I was thinking about the passage in 1 Peter where Peter says to his congregation, if you will, all you need to do is follow in the footsteps of Jesus. It's like following somebody's footsteps in the snow. He went before us by faith. Put one foot ahead of the other and keep following. So thank you. You blessed me richly today. What do you say we do some singing about Amazing Grace? Would you stand, please?
Lost, but now
again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you all. I appreciate you being here today. Most of all, God was in the house. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful for his ministry in our lives. Let's pray. Father, would you give us a blessed day. As we continue our day, may we do, whether it's in recreation or ministry, bring honor and glory to your name and your kingdom. Father, thank you for Angel. Bless him and his family as they continue with his ministry. And Father, we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen.
Not bad. Go out and have a great lunch.